This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Today we preview the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate in Kentucky, in which the winner will take on Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. We talked with three candidates last week. They are Amy McGrath, Mike Breuer, and Charles Booker. Here's our interview with Amy McGrath. Joining us now is Lieutenant Colonel Amy McGrath, one of three Democratic primary candidates in the race for U.S. Senate, in which the victor will take on incumbent Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Amy McGrath, thank you so much for taking some time with us.
Oh, great to be with you, Michael.
I'd like to start by talking a little bit about some of the unrest we've seen recently in Kentucky and across the nation in reaction to deadly police violence against African Americans. If you were the U.S. Senator from Kentucky right now, what would your message be to your constituents?
Well, first of all, the killings of the shooting of Breonna Taylor in Louisville, the killing of George Floyd in Minnesota, David McAtee two nights ago in Louisville, they are all tragedies that should never have happened. And the hundreds of protests you're seeing around the country and around the world are because of the real racial injustice that we're seeing around the country and have been seeing for a long time. Communities are hurting. And people are coming out and demonstrating. And I think what resonated with me and what I think all leaders should think about is that the victim's family and Breonna Taylor's mother, Tamika Palmer, said in a statement, you know, we all should demand and want justice for Breonna. But more violence is not the answer. And, you know, as a mother, that was something that really resonated with me. And I think leaders need to listen, first of all. They need to listen to families like Breonna Taylor's mother. They all need to listen to the protesters, the demonstrators, and what they're saying in these communities. Try and de-escalate the situation as much as possible, not escalate. That's what we should demand from leaders right now. And going forward, you know, I think we need to have a senator who's going to go to Washington to work on the issue of social justice, the real underlying issues that are causing this. And that's the inequality that you see, racial inequality in America. It deals with education. It deals with health care. It's in how we police different. We cannot have two systems of justice in our country. We've got to have leaders to tackle that. And I'm committed to doing that as a senator.
I want to ask what that means more. You talked about social justice and those types of issues. Let's just talk a little bit about police relations with the Black community, since that's a significant point in racial injustice in our country and in Kentucky. What type of policy do you see as possible in being executed by the federal government as it relates to policing reforms?
Well, two things that stand out to me right away. One is this idea that anytime something like this occurs, you need to have an independent investigation, one that is outside of the unit that this is taking place. And why is that so important? Because our relationship, communities' relationships with the police are so important, and it's built on trust. And when something like this happens, communities have to be able to trust that the people who wear the uniform, the police who wear the uniform, who are in a position of public trust, who are held to a higher standard, you know, are held accountable for any wrongdoing while in the practice of their job. You know, I wore the uniform for 20 years as a United States Marine. And one of the things that you do is you are held to a higher standard. You volunteer to be in that position of public trust. And communities, we need police. When tragic things happen like this, when there are bad apples out there, there needs to be accountability. It needs to be swift. It needs to be transparent. And investigations into those actions need to take place outside of the unit. So at the federal level, I think there's some legislation that is already introduced to look at that and see how we can do that. Beyond that, I think you have to look at the leaders that we have at all levels, and I'm talking all the way to the very top. where we need to have leaders in this country that work to de-escalate and not escalate, and we need to have leaders in this country that understand this concept of command climate.
We're talking with Amy McGrath, one of three Democratic candidates for U.S. Senate in Kentucky. The winner of the June 23rd Democratic primary will face Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell in November. Amy, I want to ask about the way the campaign has had to adjust due to the COVID-19 pandemic. I think that I know you were among those who came to Newport for, I guess, the last public appearance that all of the Democratic candidates made together during a forum there. And then it wasn't long after that that everything changed. How has your campaign adjusted to reaching Kentucky voters in an age where you can't physically reach them?
Well, obviously, the COVID-19 pandemic has changed everything. And I think the first thing that I did, just as an American, was take a step back and try to help our fellow Americans. I had this structure within my campaign. I had volunteers. I had a field operation. And so we immediately restructured our field operation to do just that. We created a program called Commonwealth Common Health that took our campaign resources and personnel and really looked outward to try to help others. It's a network. We actually still have it going. It's on my website, amymcgrath.com, and you can sign up to help your neighbor, somebody in your area who needs help. So we started that. We've had hundreds of volunteers to help their fellow Kentuckians. We also started raising money for food banks around the Commonwealth because we realized very quickly that food banks were overwhelmed. They were getting the sort of triple whammy of having more people come to them, losing a lot of their volunteers because their volunteers were elderly by and large, and also losing a lot of their resources very quickly. So we've raised over $50,000 for food banks around Kentucky. And then, you know, I haven't dropped the ball, though, with still running this campaign and showing my fellow Kentuckians just how bad Mitch McConnell is and why he needs to be removed. And so we've continued our campaign. We're continuing to talk to our fellow Kentuckians. I do a teletown hall every week in somewhere around Kentucky. We do councils, veterans councils, educators council, women's council, and regional council, where we talk to our fellow Kentuckians that way. So we're trying very hard to still get out and get our message out there, but also, Michael, to listen. I mean, you know, when was the last time Senator McConnell had a town hall? You know, you got to listen to people. And so that's what we've been trying to do. We just do it in a different way.
We talked to Senator Mitch McConnell recently, and he said not to expect any additional stimulus bill out of the Congress, which will be crafted in his Senate, he said, for about a month. And so that takes us into July. The initial rounds of stimulus did include $1,200 payments to individual Americans, more for families. What do you think needs to be done? Do you think a month is an appropriate amount of time to wait to see where the country is at that time as it relates to the pandemic, or should more funding come to individuals now?
Well, it's interesting because Senator McConnell, snapped up immediately to help out Wall Street right away. Help out Wall Street right away. But then when it came to Main Street, you know, to state and local governments, to educators, school districts, firefighters, things like that, people who have a state pension because of years of public service. You know, now there's no urgency for him to act, and it just shows you where his priorities are. I think it's very clear that Kentucky needs help. The state government needs help. The local governments need help. And this is help because of the coronavirus. I mean, they would not be in the position they're in without this coronavirus pandemic. So, you know, the federal government has a responsibility, in my mind, to help. And Senator McConnell, it just shows you him dragging his feet like this. It's just what he does. It's very sad. You know, the first bill that was passed, the coronavirus bill, he held out for 48 hours. So that he could make sure that Big Pharma could potentially gouge on a potential vaccine someday. The second bill, even after the president declared a national emergency, and the House passed a bill to get people to stay at home. And this was, you know, back in March. Senator McConnell just took a long weekend, shut the Senate down. It's just not important to him. You know, came back here to Kentucky to do a political event. The bill number three, I mean, his focus was on that slush fund bailout for Wall Street, big business, special interests. That's always been what he cares about. And if you take it all the way back, Michael, to the very beginning of this pandemic, you know, here's a senator who has the highest levels of intelligence briefings of any member of Congress. And when was the first time he warned Americans? When was the first time he even talked about coronavirus to his fellow Kentuckians? I'll tell you when it was, when the stock market tanked. You know, that right there ought to show you where his priorities are. He wasn't, you know, thinking about public health. He wasn't thinking about national security. It was about the stock market. And we need a senator who's going to protect Americans and to think beyond the bottom line of Wall Street and special interests and those entities that power his campaign and have powered his campaign for 35 years.
We're talking with Amy McGrath.
Too long.
She's one of three Democratic candidates running for U.S. Senate in Kentucky. The winner of that primary on June 23rd will face U.S. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell in November. Lieutenant Colonel McGrath, we've got just a couple of minutes left. I want to hit on two more issues, the first being health care. This was a big issue during the Democratic presidential race, whether the Democratic Party should be more embracing of what they call Medicare for all, or if there are more moderate reforms to the Affordable Care Act that might be better suited. Where do you stand on that and why?
Okay. Well, I think, you know, so many of us are for this idea that, hey, health care is a right, that all Americans deserve affordable and accessible health care. I'm for things like the public option, this idea that you can buy an Uncle Sam plan if you want to. If you have a plan that you like and you know, your union negotiates with a good plan, or you get one from your job, or you like the private insurance, you should be able to keep that. But everybody should have the option to buy a nonprofit government plan if they so choose, the same type of plan that my husband and I have because we were in the military. I think everybody ought to be able to buy that Uncle Sam plan. You know, those are some things. Prescription drug prices. You know, there are six bills that are sitting, bipartisan bills that have passed the House that are sitting on Senator McConnell's desk. Kentucky has the second highest per capita spending in prescription medication in the country. And he refuses to look, even bring any one of those six bills to the floor. It's malpractice. And you know, it just goes to show you, who he represents. He gets the most money from Big Pharma than any member of Congress, at least in the last cycle, and that's who he represents. So these are, in my opinion, some common sense things that we can do, we can pass in a bipartisan way to really make healthcare better for Americans. And the Affordable Care Act was not a perfect piece of legislation. But you know what? We're Americans. We fix what we don't like about it, and we keep what we like. And so, you know, that in my mind, the protections for pre-existing conditions, the Affordable Care Act did a lot of good for Kentucky because it brought our uninsured rate from about 22% down to about 5%. So let's not throw it away. Let's make it better. That's what I want to do.
Amy McGrath, we've got about 45 seconds for this last question. I know that you are a Northern Kentucky native, and there's a certain bridge that I'd have to ask you about since you're running for office in Kentucky. It's the Brent Spence Bridge Project. Should this project move forward? If so, should it be done fully funded by the federal government, or do you see some type of tolling mechanism to get the project finished if you think it should be?
Well, in my mind, this is a federal government project. Look, Interstate 75 is a national interstate. And to me, the interstate highway system is a national system. It's part of our national economy. This is something that Mitch McConnell just isn't interested in. He's been around 35 years. I grew up in Norman, Kentucky. I grew up in Edgewood. My father was from Fort Thomas. My parents worked in Cincinnati growing up, and they crossed that bridge every single day to go to work. And that bridge was a problem when I was a kid. And, you know, we need leaders to get it. I mean, if you're Senator McConnell and you can pass trillions of dollars in tax cuts for millionaires, and you can't get the Brent Spence Bridge to be fixed
and replaced in 35 years with all your great power. It's useless, and you're useless as a senator. So this is definitely something I want to tackle. It's not just 21st century infrastructure like broadband and cell phone coverage that I want to tackle, but also the 20th century infrastructure that we badly need. And let me just remind people, this is America's number one infrastructure emergency in the Brent Spence Bridge. I mean, that's what it's been labeled. It's important, and we need to have a leader that understands that and is going to get it done.
Amy McGrath, Lieutenant Colonel Amy McGrath, is one of three Democratic candidates for U.S. Senate in Kentucky, vying for a chance to take on Republican Mitch McConnell in the fall. Amy McGrath, thank you so much for your time today.
All right, thanks.
Our conversations with Mike Breuer and Charles Booker are just ahead. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our preview of the June 23rd Democratic primary for U.S. Senate. Here is our conversation from last week with Mike Breuer. And joining us now is one of the Democratic candidates for U.S. Senate in Kentucky, Mike Breuer. Mike, thank you for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much, Mike.
Mike, I know it's a weird time to be running for any type of office, but particularly one of the most powerful Senate seats currently. You're up against a very powerful politician in Mitch McConnell if you were to win this Democratic primary. But I'd like to ask a little bit about what the campaign has been like for you since, as a first-time candidate, you were relatively new to this stuff anyway, but now it's all shifted away from public appearances and public forums to strictly digital. How's that working for you?
Well, it's been really, really good. You know, when Andrew Yang closed his presidential campaign, a lot of the Yang just started driving here to Kentucky. You know, they left Nevada and Iowa and New Hampshire and started driving here and finally just kind of showing up at my farm. And they are smart and they're agile and they just kind of seamlessly, at least to me as a candidate, switch from the traditional way of campaigning to campaigning in the time of pandemic.
And you're talking about Andrew Yang, who was one of the Democratic candidates for president and got a lot of attention from some fervent supporters called the Yang Gang. And one of their main issues was universal basic income. And that's something you've adopted in your platform. Tell us what it is and why.
Well, you know, when I started my campaign way back in last July, it was founded on economic and social justice for all. And it was actually my son who was a big Yang fan. And I actually called him up and said, "Hey, what's with you and Andrew Yang?" And he's a big-hearted kid. You know, well, he's not a kid. He's a grown man, father of my granddaughter. And he said, you know, he just respects all life. And he acknowledges that all work, not just people going to work from 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 and punch the clock, that is of value. And, you know, here in rural Kentucky where I live in Lincoln County, and I'm a farmer, and, there are a lot of people doing an awful lot of work that is completely uncompensated. And it's just an acknowledgement that everyone contributes to America. And, that's, you know, he liked him. And when I started looking into the Yang campaign and seeing how closely it was related to, you know, my basic philosophy that of economic and social justice, that universal basic income, which is basically a payment from the government every single month for $1,200 per adult, $400 per child, was that everyone contributes to America, and it's much better to inject money into the middle class, the working class, and the working poor than just give it away to corporations.
I want to ask you, Mike, because we are asking these questions in the context of COVID-19 pandemic, and it seems that the nation got a little bit of a taste of UBI. In fact, the amount for most people was about $1,200, and that was money from the federal government to support people during this economic downturn caused by the pandemic. But one of the concerns we're hearing from Congress is we can't afford to do this again. How would you propose that the nation afford to do this every month in perpetuity?
Well, you know, it's funny because originally my basic premise was $1,200 a month, and then that was way before the pandemic, and then what Congress came up with was $1,200, and then when the pandemic struck, I added a emergency universal basic income of $2,000 a month. And now $2,000 is what Congress is talking about. And the basis of that is in the math. And I've been very, very fortunate. I had a guy named Scott Sands who writes for the World Economic Forum, who's an advisor to my campaign, and he has done the math. People will start thinking that Andrew Yang had a crystal ball or I had a crystal ball when we predict these numbers, but it's based in math, and this is something that America can afford. And we give the government injects money into the economy all the time. The Fed injects money without even the permission of Congress all the time. And the gist of this is that money spent locally, money given into the hands of people who spend it, the middle class, the working class, the working poor, they spend it immediately. And it causes tremendous velocity of money and has a much more impactful effect than just giving tax breaks to corporations.
And we're talking with Mike Breuer, one of the three major Democratic candidates seeking that party's nomination to go up against incumbent Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell this fall. Mike, in addition to being endorsed by former presidential candidate Andrew Yang and landing a lot of his supporters in your camp, you had a pretty significant profile in Rolling Stone. I'm wondering how you describe yourself as a pretty progressive Democrat in a state that's been trending red for some time. We only have one member of the Democratic Party representing Kentucky in its federal delegation of 8. How will your message, being delivered from you, resonate with Kentuckians in a way that perhaps other Democrats haven't been able to?
Well, thanks for that question, Michael. I think that the difference other candidates and I is that I'm a farmer. My wife and I are farmers. We're talking about bend over pick crops for 3, 4, 5 hours a day and feed our neighbors and our community. And whether you're campaigning on universal basic income or you're talking about single payer health care, these are issues that are very, very important to Kentuckians because it will significantly change their lives. And, I was doing an interview the other night, and we were talking about universal basic income. And through the window in the room in which I'm talking, I was seeing my neighbor. And he was repairing a fence between our two properties in the headlights of his pickup truck. And he loves to farm. He's a great farmer. But he has to work a day job because you have to have money coming in to support a farm. And here he is feeding our community and being a great warden of our environment and taking care of the soil. And I was thinking to myself, how different would his life be if he didn't have to have his day job to be a farmer, something he loves to do? If he didn't have to keep his day job because he was worried about paying for his health care. The root of universal basic income is the fact that people are allowed to do what they love to do, things that we all know contribute to the general welfare of society, but they cannot do it because they are tied to a job, because it's tied to their health care, and they need some cash coming in. And it was really affirming to see that, that someone that I know, someone who's a great farmer or a small businessman, that he'd be able to do what he loves, what contributes to his community, would be freed up to do this because of universal basic income.
Senator Mitch McConnell was first elected in 1984. He's running for re-election now in 2020, 36 years later. In spite of all of the differences that Democrats try to showcase between him and the average Kentuckian, Mitch McConnell continues to be reelected. You said, according to Newsweek, that he's running the country into the ground. So with that observation in mind, and Mitch McConnell's electoral success time and time again, how do you square that?
Well, it's actually quite easy. He's tied his star to the Trump administration. Their sole metric for success is the stock market, and they've driven it into the ditch, literally driven into the ditch without consideration what affects the average person here in Kentucky. And, uh, I don't think Mitch McConnell cares about the Constitution. I don't think he cares about the Republic. I don't think he cares about people here in Kentucky. He cares about money and power. And when you bring a message that that is based in empowering people and making their lives better, it's easy to square. I don't think the average Kentuckian, the farmer, the teacher, or the nurse, the volunteer firefighter wakes up in the morning and takes a look at the stock market and says, wow, the S&P is doing great. You know, they're worried about paying their rent. They're worried about paying their mortgage. They're making decisions. Am I going to go to the doctor or am I going to pay the rent? And that is something that Mitch McConnell doesn't care about. And, you know, in the face of this coronavirus and all these cracks in the system that we have, where healthcare is tied to employment, are starting to show. And I don't think that Mitch McConnell is going to be able to come back here to Kentucky and run the same old script that he has for the last 35 years. And I think people are ready for a change. I think you're ready for bold ideas.
But you're up against President Trump as well. You said that Mitch McConnell has hitched his wagon to President Trump in spite of some of the downturn in polling he's experiencing, maybe nationally and in some particular states that he might have carried last time. He's still pretty popular, according to polls, in Kentucky. So how are you able to ride that wave? How are you able to take a message against Mitch McConnell, who you say is so closely hitched to the president, while not being turned on by people who might support the president?
Well, you know, fortunately, I'm not running against President Trump. And in here in Kentucky, there are actually more registered Democrats than Republicans. And the key, of course, is talking about Mitch McConnell. And, you know, someone like myself, who is a retired combat veteran, who's a teacher, and who's a farmer, that carries a lot of weight here in Kentucky. And people don't have to pick between Mitch McConnell and President Trump. I'm not running against him. I'm running against Mitch McConnell, a person who I believe a threat to the future of the Republic. And, you know, people can vote for President Trump if they like him. But Mitch McConnell has done nothing for the people of Kentucky.
We're talking with Mike Breuer, a Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate in Kentucky. And Mike, voters will be picking between you and Amy McGrath and State Representative Charles Booker of Louisville. Why you over them?
Well, I think, you know, there, you mentioned two people. You mentioned Colonel Amy McGrath and Mitch McConnell, or I'm sorry, and Charles Booker. And so Amy McGrath has been campaigning on, I'm a retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel, vote for me. And I'm a retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel. And my wife's a retired Marine. And around here, being a retired Marine means it's just your turn to mow the lawn or take out the trash. So, you know, for me, it's like, all right, what else you got? And with McGrath, it's this return to business as usual. It's you know, the comfort of the things that people know. But in a time of pandemic, it's time for bold change and offering middle of the road, comfortable positions is not what people are looking for. And you know, Representative Booker, he has a punch list of progressive ideas, which is great. But behind, and I think our platforms are very, very similar, except I have a plan behind them. You know, we're both for universal basic income. And but I have got a writer from the World Economic Forum, an expert on universal basic income, that has helped me craft my policy that shows not only how to implement it, how to pay for it and make it reality. And so while I respect both those people, they have no plans, real hard plans to change America fundamentally and make it more just and equitable for everyone.
And Mike, we've got 90 seconds left. I'd like to get your perspective on some of the unrest that has taken place in recent days across the country, particularly in Minneapolis, but also, of course, in Louisville, Lexington, Cincinnati. What is the appropriate response from the federal government should you become a member of it when dealing with the cries of the African-American community about injustice and for police reform?
Well, their response is completely just and righteous. There's no doubt about it. You know, we've been telling law enforcement officers there's a war on drugs, that there's a war. And they start to think that there's a war. And then there's a war, there's an enemy. And their enemy are African Americans, and we need to fundamentally change our culture of law enforcement so that they go back to the point where they understand that they're sworn to protect and serve the people of America. We are not their enemy. African Americans people are not their enemy. And, you know, I think that, you know, at the local level, county judges, mayors, sheriffs, chiefs of police need to fundamentally change their culture and ensure that everyone who wears a badge and carries a gun understands they are not at war with the American people. They're not at war with African Americans. And as a senator, of course, then we need to end the war on drugs. We need to stop the, we need to end the idea that prison is a business where, you know, the idea of putting people in jail drives profit for corporations that contribute money to politicians that write laws that put people in jail. In the military, we have a term for it. It's called a self-licking ice cream cone. It is something that that exists only to support itself and is fundamentally unjust and is fundamentally un-American.
Mike, I can't let you go with a conversation in the Northern Kentucky media market without asking you how a Brent Spence Bridge project will come to fruition.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Brent Spence Bridge. It is just one of the many key pieces of infrastructure that we've said. I mean, going back and I love me some President Obama, but even he said that his top priority was repairing the Brent Spence Bridge, and it's not, and it's not been. And so here's my plan. I want to put every key piece of infrastructure in the United States on a federal schedule. It's built, it's maintained, it's repaired, and it's replaced on a federal schedule. There's no reason that the people of Ohio and Kentucky have to bear the burden of replacing a bridge that carries 4% of the gross domestic product every single year. And if it's key infrastructure, it needs to be maintained by the federal government. And I do not want to throw that off on the people of Ohio and Kentucky. It is responsibility of the federal government. We'll create a federal schedule of every single key piece of infrastructure. And no one will ever have to go begging to their congressman or senator and say, please fix this.
Mike Breuer is a Democratic candidate for the U.S. Senate in Kentucky. He faces Amy McGrath and State Representative Charles Booker on the June 23rd primary. Mike, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And up next is State Representative Charles Booker. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue our preview of the June 23rd Democratic primary for U.S. Senate. Here is our conversation from last week with State Representative Charles Booker. And joining us now is Kentucky State Representative Charles Booker, one of three Democratic candidates vying for the nomination to take on Senator Mitch McConnell in the fall. Representative Booker, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
You grew up in the West End of Louisville, and from that perspective, I'm hoping that you can share some thoughts on what you're seeing taking place in Louisville and here in Cincinnati, Minneapolis, across the country. Tell us what you see.
Yeah, so I am a lifelong resident of the West End of Louisville, which, you know, Louisville is still one of the most segregated cities in the country. So I live in an area that is around 75,000 people with very few restaurants, very few places to get food. Jobs have left. Poverty has been concentrated. Unemployment's been close to 30% in my neighborhood for years. And we see a lot of trauma, a lot of struggle, a lot of folks that are fighting to survive and fighting for the idea of justice and humanity, which is what we're seeing now. And not only Louisville, but across our Commonwealth and certainly across the country, I think we are seeing the results of people that have felt abandoned for a long time and are speaking up now to say they want a brighter future.
Can you give a sense to us of what the feeling is in Louisville? We're certainly seeing things in our neck of the woods up here, but Louisville is one of the epicenters of the recent killings that have gripped the nation's attention. So if you could, can you give us an idea of what the emotions are, what the feelings are right now in the city?
Yeah. So there is a lot of grief, a lot of mourning, pain and anguish is just, it's really palpable. And of course it is because of Breonna Taylor having her life taken away, being killed in her home by the very agency institution that is supposed to protect us. And then the idea of her partner seeking to stand his ground, but realizing that if you come from places like I do, if you don't have a lot of resources, if you look like, you know, I do have a darker skin complexion, that you may not have ground to stand on. And so you're just seeing a lot of just frustration because we know that trauma just throughout our history. But then you're also seeing a lot of very powerful hope and unity in solidarity. These gatherings, and they're not protests. I mean, this is more of an uprising, because and it is affecting everybody. But we're seeing people from all over the city, all different walks of life, all across the Commonwealth, even from around the country, that are coming together to love on one another, to, yes, demand justice, but also to encourage and uplift the voices of people that have been ignored and silenced, and even to stand on the front lines with us. That was a very powerful moment where a group of black protesters were standing, looking at law enforcement. Law enforcement had an adversarial posture, holding weapons ready to what in all measures looked like they were ready to go to war with people. And there was a group of white Kentuckians that came and stood in front of them and said that this is our family and we want to stand up for them. And so I'm really inspired by the unity and the sense of interconnectedness that is being elevated in this moment.
And we're talking with Kentucky State Representative Charles Booker, one of three Democrats vying for the party's nomination to take on Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell in the fall in the Democratic primary on June 23rd. He faces Amy McGrath and Mike Breuer. Representative Booker, you are endorsed by fellow lawmakers in Frankfort from across the state. You represent part of Louisville. If you were to win this nomination and go on to win the race, you would be a senator. So I'm wondering what you see as potential policy reforms as it relates to policing and improving the relationships between certain communities within our broader communities and law enforcement.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, you know, a lot of my platform is really getting to the heart of structural issues. You know, we have to grapple with and deal with structural racism and gross inequity that affects communities all across the Commonwealth. And it is one of the unifying factors because so many of us know exactly what that means. And I believe that at the federal level, it is critical that we have leadership that will see the humanity of all people and push for accountability in our institutions, in our agencies, and quit looking away from the reality that racism exists at a structural and institutional level. And it's hurting everybody. And so some of the things that I would want to lead on include creating a police system review board at the national level, being able to track data nationally that helps to identify racial disparities, disproportionate harm and impact, instances of police shootings and brutality, so that we can begin to allocate resources, look at accreditation, determine how we can put more better practices in place to erase those ills and address those blind spots. And, you know, a lot of it also goes to funding. You know, we have a consolidated amendment from 2018 that essentially requires mandated funds for police and law enforcement. How do we put more investment in community policing and looking at public safety as more than just a law enforcement or policing issue?
And again, we're talking with Democratic Kentucky State Representative Charles Booker, a candidate for U.S. Senate in the Commonwealth. Representative Booker, as we noted, you're from the West End of Louisville. And I hesitate to paraphrase this. I want to make sure I get it correctly. But I think one of the themes of your messaging is from the hood to the holler. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right.
Well, help us understand what exactly that means, because, I mean, it does appear to be able to be interpreted as trying to find the similar experiences between the urban elements in Kentucky, the urban population, whether it be Louisville or where I live in Covington, and people in the more rural parts of the state.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, we don't have to try to find them. They are there in our faces. And, you know, we live in silos. Our politics keep a lot of people divided, and oftentimes we don't realize how much we have in common. And if we have leaders that can speak that truth and say, no, wait a minute, we're living a lot of the same struggles, we're fighting a lot of the same battles, and our common cause is to get rid of Mitch McConnell, because poverty is so pervasive across Kentucky. And if you look at most measurable indices of a good quality of life, Kentucky's near the bottom in all of them. And, you know, I'm telling the story of breaking down those barriers. I'm a type 1 diabetic. I've had to ration my insulin because I couldn't afford it. Nearly died twice from it. Worked multiple jobs just to barely make it. Industries have left our community. It's hard to get access to good food. Our internet is crap. We're in the digital desert. We're trying to raise wages and advance our education. We're just trying to fight for a future. And you know what? All Kentuckians know that story. If it's not directly weighing on them, they know somebody. And so by saying, hey, from the hood to the holler, I'm not just running as a candidate for the West End of Louisville, for urban parts of the Commonwealth. I'm running to elevate the voices of every single Kentuckian, because if we stand together, we can win our future, which means we'll beat Mitch McConnell in the process. And we're building momentum to prove it, man. Folks are inspired. They hear us. They see it. And no matter where you come from in this Commonwealth, you are critically important, and you matter, and your government should be accountable to you, and that's why we're going to win.
Poverty is pervasive across the Commonwealth and a lot of different environments, whether it be the mountains or the farmlands or the inner cities. And this COVID-19 pandemic has revealed people's vulnerabilities when their income is so quickly disrupted and for such a uncertain amount of time. There was an infusion of money to many individuals from the federal government, the amount of $1,200, maybe more. Families are involved. I think you're on the record supporting more regularity of that type of financial assistance. Is that right?
Absolutely. I've been a supporter and advocate for years for universal basic income. I believe that it is a very key element in how we ultimately end poverty, which we need leaders that are actually talking about ending poverty. Poverty is a policy choice. And universal basic income really is rooted in the idea that our humanity has value and that our lives are more than our hourly wage. And, you know, so many Kentuckians, so many of my family across the Commonwealth are hardworking people that bust their butts for our economy and our country's economy and get exploited as a result of it. We get paid low wages. Profits go to the wealthiest few. We're stranded on the tracks, like those folks in Harlan County that I stood with. And so I'm just saying, we need an equity stake. This is not about a handout. It's about justice. It's about paying what's due to the people of Kentucky so that we can make the decision to put food on the table and pay the rent. You know, that's not a lot to ask for a Commonwealth of people that work so hard.
I spoke with Senator Mitch McConnell recently, and he said that if there is another stimulus bill, it will be written by the Senate. And it might be a month away before that's looked at. He wants to see where the state of the nation is. He's also been expressing some serious concern about the debt that's been incurred by these stimulus packages. He does not seem so certain about including any additional income assistance. And his concern is over paying for it. How do you argue in defense of such a regular payment to individuals while needing to find a way to pay for it?
Well, the reality is we're already paying for it. We're paying for it in record profits that go to the wealthiest few, a tax structure that predates the civil rights movement that is so regressive that hurts families that are already struggling, like my own. We're already paying for it in all of the bureaucracy and the administrative costs, for instance, in our healthcare system that doesn't go to quality care, but goes to administrative costs, $500 billion annually. And so it seems that Mitch McConnell is only interested in the debt and deficit when it comes to helping regular people. But when it comes to big corporations, blank check, don't worry about it. Endless wars, blank check, don't worry about it. Putting more people in prison, blank check, don't worry about it. And so we have to stop the excuse of saying that investing in people is too daggone expensive. And you know, I'm standing up for that because I know that struggle, and I know what it means to not have enough money to feed my daughters and have to try to borrow. And, you know, my wife has had to give plasma to try to have enough money. Like, I know that struggle, and because of that, I'm not going to ignore regular people. So we don't need any more excuses, and that's why we're going to beat them so we can do that.
And we're talking with Kentucky State Representative Charles Booker, one of three Democrats running in the primary for U.S. Senate. The winner will face Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, the Republican, in the fall. And Representative Booker faces Amy McGrath and Mike Breuer in that primary. Representative Booker, you're endorsed by a couple of Northern Kentucky lawmakers, the only two Democrats in the Northern Kentucky Legislative Caucus, Buddy Wheatley of Covington and Rachel Roberts of Newport. And I can't have you on without talking about a big issue up here, and that's the bridge, the Brent Spence Bridge. Yeah. So I'll ask you about that. Is that a project that you think needs to move forward? If so, how?
That is a critical project. And listen, you don't have to be from Northern Kentucky to know how important that project has been and the fact that it's been fought for years. Listen, so much of our infrastructure is damaged, it's old, it's outdated, it's missing. And, you know, if one of the things that Donald Trump spoke of in investing in infrastructure, a lot of us were like, well, we don't believe anything you say, but if you are going to invest in infrastructure, that should be one of the first projects you do because we critically need it as an artery to our Commonwealth. But, of course, he was selling snake oil, and, of course, Mitch McConnell could care less. I believe that we need to prioritize that project, and it should not require tolls as well. Regular folks are already paying so much and getting so little in return. So I'm fully committed to that. And our infrastructure in general, which as well as our physical infrastructure, our digital as well, which, you know, Kentucky Wired is a big issue here. How do we get broadband all across the Commonwealth? These issues are at the heart of why I'm taking this stand. Because if we secure our infrastructure, we can create more opportunities for economic growth, more investment in our communities, more dollars circulating, and our Commonwealth will thrive as a result.
State Representative Charles Booker is a Democrat running for the United States Senate in Kentucky. The primary election in which he faces Amy McGrath and Mike Breuer is on June 23rd. Representative Booker, thank you so much for the time you gave us today.
Thank you, sir. It was a pleasure.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.